filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon 222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $7.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you of the views that are expressed here and not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, who's certainly always one of our favorite guests, and we're glad to have her with us here. Hi, Joyce. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Doing great. Thank you so much.
Well, what are we going to talk about today? What are the things that you really think are important?
Well, let me tell you what I'm hearing from the active duty military right now. I'm getting phone calls, more than I have gotten in a long, long time, from people that are on active duty that do not want to take the flu shot. Now, I think this is most interesting, given the fact that these military people have taken a bucket load of vaccines for the longest period of time, and now all of a sudden I'm getting all of these calls about how can I avoid the swine flu shot. Now, we know from the information that we've gotten thus far from Baxter and from Novartis that it looks as though this vaccine is going to be given probably in July. You know, they have been able to move it up and able to create this vaccine in half the time or less. And there's a reason that they can do it so fast. They're not doing any testing. And this is frightening. And I think the military people are seeing it even faster because they've just come through the scare of the anthrax vaccine. They're seeing it even more so than some of the public is seeing it.
Well, don't you think, though, Joyce Bradley, that they're really going to be using the military as guinea pigs? Because, of course, this is not the flu season. This is not the time you ordinarily give the influenza shots. So if they've developed a vaccine, they're using our military as guinea pigs. But they've done this lots of times before.
Oh, yeah. This has been the testing ground in the past. But you know what I think is going to happen this time that's going to be different is they're going to bypass the testing time. You know, they used to do the primary and secondary trials. That's to my belief. The primary and secondary trials were done in the military. Now, because of the BioShield, 2004 BioShield agreement, they can bypass that whole testing issue. And now they can just require them to take it, give it to them, and, oh, well, gee, we're so sad. You know, the Project BioShield Act of 2004 permits the U.S. the health secretary to declare an actual or potential health emergency, and therefore all of these IND or investigational new drugs can be given without testing, without any kind of assurances. So we go back to what is going to be the problem in the swine flu vaccine, and I happen to believe that it's going to be the squalene. Now, we talked about this at length the other day on the Power Hour because of this recurrence of squalene, which is an adjuvant that is added to the vaccine to sort of accentuate the immune properties of the vaccine.
Well, has that ever been really cleared by the FDA to be used routinely in vaccines? Because I know at the time of the Gulf War illness, they kept denying that there was any squalene there, although we know there was. But has this ever really been cleared?
No, it's not in the United States. It hasn't. It has in some vaccines overseas, in some trials in some third world countries. They did do it, and they were able to get it tried for, I believe, a malaria shot, a herpes vaccine, but not in the United States. And so now we look back, though, at what has happened with the Gulf War illness, and we look at the fibromyalgia. And I want to remind everybody that we really didn't hear about fibromyalgia until about 1990. And as much fibromyalgia as we hear about now, it was a term that most people didn't even know. So part of what we're thinking is that this squalene-tainted vaccine could have been part of the problem. And they did some testing on the Gulf War veterans. Dr. Pam Asa did the testing on the vaccinated troops and found that they did have anti-squalene antibodies.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Joyce Riley today. And from the Power Hour, she's talking about really the fact that many of the people on active duty service in the military are really very upset that they are going to be used as guinea pigs for the new H1N1 so-called swine flu vaccine. Now, apparently it's going to be produced very, very soon. We know apparently Baxter is one of the people who produced it. They're the ones who sort of just accidentally produced countless millions of doses of flu vaccine and just accidentally happened to put in there the deadly avian virus. In fact, if it hadn't been that they put it in some animals and they started to die, they wouldn't have even known it, and they would have given literally probably tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions, of doses of this vaccine. And Baxter said, I mean, we're talking about within the last few months, Baxter said, oh, shucks, we just made a mistake. Now, if I'd been in charge, I would have shut them down and shut down the company totally, because they could have killed potentially millions of people. They could have modified the bird flu virus, which was deadly for birds, to be deadly for human beings. It could be transmitted from person to person. But they got off with a little, oh, shucks, we just made a mistake. Can we really trust them now to produce another vaccine? Well, apparently a lot of the people in the military are very concerned about this. They're contacting Joyce. But more than that, Joyce is considering that perhaps they're going to put a squalene in there. Now, a squalene is something called an adjuvant that makes a vaccine work more efficiently. And of course, they use this experimentally in the Gulf War of vaccines that really precipitated the Gulf War illness. And there's a great deal of evidence that they used experimental vaccines during the Gulf War illness. And basically, there were hundreds of thousands of our veterans of the first Gulf War that were permanently damaged. And, you know, over 80,000 of them have died from the figures we have. And those are figures a year ago, or almost 80,000. And now, of course, they want to use another experimental vaccine on our military, and they're upset about it. And Joyce is raising the question of squalene. You picked the story up there, Joyce.
Well, the squalene that we do know was used because the troops ended up with the anti-squalene antibodies in their blood.
But, of course, the government denied it. They say we would never use that. It's not approved. But they lie.
Right. And then, though, there was an admission. There was one admission by the Department of Defense that squalene was used. And of course, they want to say that it was only in a very small number of cases. However, we actually know that the lots that did contain squalene.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Joyce Riley. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Joyce was just saying that the government had denied officially that squalene was ever used. It wasn't used in the Gulf War veterans. It wasn't used. It wasn't responsible. It had nothing to do with the Gulf War illness that incapacitated hundreds of thousands of the young men who went overseas to fight in the first Gulf War. And then of course, they admitted, well, yes, it was used in a few batches. But remember, they told us that nobody ever had any nerve gas. Absolutely no one. There were no nerve gases used. Well, maybe a few hundred people got it, a few thousand people, 50,000. I've forgotten what they finally admitted, how many people actually were gassed. But it was tens of thousands, 50,000, maybe at least, of our troops were gassed during the Gulf War, first Gulf War. But now Joyce is saying that we know something about the batches that were contaminated with squalene during the first Gulf War. You pick up the story, Joyce.
Yeah, the batches that were contaminated, the lots, all began with FAV. And that has now been determined, the FAV lots have all been determined to be the squalene-positive vaccines. Now, those lots were determined by the FDA and Stanford Research that they did contain the squalene. Now, squalene is responsible for I think, a lot of the Gulf War illness, a lot of it. Now, remember, I did not deploy to the Middle East, but I became ill. I received 10 vaccines in one day. I don't know my lot numbers. I don't have my vaccine records, which are something they always give you after the war, but they kept ours this time, and we were not allowed to have them.
Yes, they didn't want the veterans to understand, the military to know they were being used as guinea pigs. They've used them as guinea pigs in the past. It sounds like they're going to do it again.
That's right. Now, the biggest problem that they have found with the people that did receive squalene, they did an interviews with all of these troops, and the one thing that they did find most predominantly, over and above everything else, was that they had memory loss. And that's really frightening. But the number one thing in common with all of those that received squalene was that they had memory loss. Now, the Polish Academy of Sciences used to inject squalene and use it in an experimental fashion. And when they injected it in rats, what they found was that it automatically went to the inguinal nodes. The researchers also found that it accumulated in the myelin sheath. That's, you know, around the nerves. And it affected the peripheral nervous system, which we all know has been a problem with Gulf War veterans. And, of course, I had a myelin sheath disorder, if you will, or a neurological problem just like that after the Gulf War. Now, what was found out is that the United States actually has, or it has been patented, the squalene adjuvant formulation. And I'm going to give you the patent number if you have a pencil and paper. You want to look it up on the USPTO site, the U.S. Patent Office site. Now, this is, remember, what Dr. Garth Nicholson commonly referred to as MF59. Do you remember that discussion?
I really don't, but you go right ahead.
Okay.
And remind
Dr. Garth Nicholson was always talking about a derivation that came from the HIV virus or the HIV vaccine that he believed was the thing that showed that the Gulf War veterans also were probably used as an experimental group for the HIV vaccine, which did not work and caused a lot of illnesses. Well, it could have been because of the squalene. I don't know. But the patent number, the United States patent number for this squalene is 6299884. 6299884. And it says that it is a submicron oil droplet emulsion known as MF59, and which is squalene in water, basically. Now, scientists for the Chiron Corporation, that's C-H-I-R-O-N, who are deeply involved in the making of these vaccines, Chiron Corporation is the one that filed the application for that patent. They filed the patent on 7 April of 1995. And it's important to note that this oil has to be metabolized. And the problem with it is that you can, you know, there's squalene in your hair follicles and the sebaceous glands of the hair. There's naturally occurring squalene, but when you inject it, it takes a whole different route, and it's really unacceptable for human consumption because of these effects and the manner in which it is given. And what they also found is that back in the 1950s, the United States government with the military had attempted to do some studies and some experiments using another form of squalene as far back as 1950, if you can imagine that. And what they did was they used a light mineral oil. So they conducted an experiment at Fort Dix in the 1950s with the troops that were immunized with an experimental flu vaccine containing light mineral oil. And what they found as a result of that, unfortunately, was increased collagen disease, autoimmune disease like lupus and scleroderma, and various neoplasms, tumors both benign and cancerous. So we're getting into a situation now where the U.S. government has done this in the past, knows what they're doing. I mean, this is all known. This is no, gee, we just didn't know kind of thing like Baxter's trying to make you think. And so now they've got permission with the BioShield Act of 2004, the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act. And by the way, the BioShield Act of 2004 does not cover military, as I understand. That is, I found interesting that it excludes the military. So what they're operating under, I don't know, but they have some type of regulation that's allowing them to do exactly what they want to do. But the concern now is, what are we going to do when they come to our door and they say, you need to take this vaccine, or you need to report to your church, your school, or whatever, and take this vaccine.
I think we should not take this vaccine because we don't trust them. We know that they put toxic substances into the vaccines in the past, the cancer virus and the polio virus, the chorionotatropin and the tetanus vaccine they gave to women to make so they can make them infertile. I mean, why would you want to trust them? And we've seen what Baxter has done recently with millions of doses of the influenza vaccine. We know that the swine flu vaccine that they gave in 76 killed far more people than died of the swine flu. And we know that vaccines have all sorts of, certainly the aluminum in them, the mercury that's in them, are certainly going to your brain, and certainly we know that many of the people will never recover from the damage that was done to them because they foolishly took the vaccines that were given to the military during the Gulf War time. Why would anybody want to trust them not to do the same thing all over again? We know that the homosexuals who took the experimental hepatitis B vaccine that was given in San Francisco, New York, and Los Angeles in 1978, we know what happened to those in San Francisco because they followed them very carefully. They took a hepatitis B vaccine, and 77% of them came down with AIDS, and most of them are dead today.
That is the background. It really is incredible to think that we are going to line up and do the same thing all over again. I can't believe it, Dr. Stan.
Well, I would just suggest anybody who has any question, Tom Clancy's really got a lot of contacts with important people. He wrote a wonderful book called Rainbow Six. If you haven't read it, and you're thinking of taking the vaccine, read Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six. In the foreword of the book, he says, this book contains information the government doesn't want you to know. And what's the information? There was a group that was going to produce a vaccine that was going to kill most of the world's population. But go right ahead.
Well, I think that they're trying to scare people now, also by saying that the swine flu is a lot worse than it really is. And, surprisingly enough, yesterday, right here in Lake of the Ozarks, Missouri, now I'm not in the Lake of the Ozarks, I call it the cheap seats to it, but we're located about an hour away from the Lake of the Ozarks, but there was an outbreak of swine flu in a camp. And this children's camp had to be disbanded, all the children went home, had to be tested, and they said that two people had swine flu, but none of them were sick, nobody hospitalized. But they said they had swine flu. Well, I'm not going to take issue with whether they did or not, but it's just the whole idea, though, that it just doesn't make any sense. And here in Morgan County, Missouri, now we have the outbreak of swine flu. So I'm just thinking, and my mind is racing, wondering, okay, does this mean quarantine? Is this going to be the beginning of something that's going to take place in this area? And I think people need to start thinking about that. Because it is. That's the purpose of all of this.
But, Joyce, I mean, this is the most significant non-event there's ever been. That we hear about this swine flu, this new virus here with H1N1 with a component of North American swine influenza and Asian swine influenza and avian influenza and human influenza. It's an entirely new organism, and there are many, many people who think it was produced in a government laboratory someplace. But with all of the hype we've heard about it, and this disease has spread all over the world, and it's been noted as the first pandemic we've had in 41 years, only 170 people have died in the entire world. Why, we lose, millions of people, from AIDS every year. We lose millions of people from malaria every year. And they could say 1 million. The figure is really about 3 million people to get it. But between 30 million and 50 million people become, ill with malaria every year. I mean, but why are they making such a big issue out of the swine flu with 174 people killed? In fact, if you look at the statistics up on the internet of the incidence of hepatitis B, why, it's very, very low here in the United States if you're not a homosexual or promiscuous, but throughout the world, 2 billion people have gotten hepatitis B. And how did they get it? Well, they just accidentally used dirty needles when they were immunizing people all throughout the world for childhood vaccines. And 2 billion people got hepatitis B throughout the world because they used dirty needles. Do you really think they're that stupid? Well, of course, fortunately, most of them got over it, but an awful lot of them, some of them will have the chronic disease, carry them the rest of their lives. Vaccines are dangerous, ladies and gentlemen, and they've done far more harm than they have done good. 2 billion people, according to the World Health Organization, got, you know, hepatitis B from vaccinations, accidentally using dirty needles. We'll be right back in just a moment. Joyce, go right ahead.
So there's a website out that I think people should be aware of. Now, I agree with you on this idea of the ridiculousness, and the more we learn about vaccines, now, you and I both used to give them, take them, didn't think a thing about it. And it's almost as if we have gone from the darkness into the light and can now see these things and realize what is really being done by them. And I think the whole goal and the whole motivation of all of this is simply to get something into people. I'm not sure what they want to get into people with this vaccine, but there are a number of people now that are signing a universal declaration of resistance to the mandatory vaccines. If you want to see the information on this, there's about 13 pages you can print out. If you'll go to thepowerhour.com and click on the news section, scroll down to where you come to the universal declaration of resistance to mandatory vaccination. Since Baxter now has determined that they are going to have their patented technology ready by the middle of July, that means that we better be doing something right now to say no. Now, the World Health Organization is the one that declared, of course, the level 6. They're the ones under whose prerogative we are working. It's their bureaucratic prerogatives that have triggered all of these state, the local, the national, and all of the international agencies, along with their codes, their rules, their regulations, and their laws. It was all that WHO level 6 pandemic fear tactic, or false whatever you want to call it, but it wasn't real. We all know that. So now, because we are under this proviso of the World Health Organization, there are a lot of people that are saying no to it, not just because of the squalene, but because they just don't want it, period.
Well, I think we have to point out we don't trust them, and there's good reason not to trust them. The World Health Organization has been responsible for controlling the AIDS epidemic and has been blocking every effort to use standard and effective public health techniques in Africa to stop the spread of the disease. And today, 40% of the adult population of Africa, of South Africa, of Botswana, of Zimbabwe and Zambia, 40% of them are HIV infected, and they're going to die of their disease. Do we really want to trust the World Health Organization that has blocked the implementation of effective public health approach to this disease?
Well, how can we say we don't trust the government? I was looking online at some, I was reading, I had seen something about, they were quoting me, And they quoted me as a leading leading something or another that distrusts the government. As that's supposed to be some kind of negative, that's supposed to put me in some special weirdo category or special of interest or terrorist category. There are a lot of people that don't trust the government. You know, USA Today did a poll about 7 or 8 years ago, and at that time it said that only 6% of the people trusted the government. That means, you know, 93% or 93% of the people are not trusting the government, 94%. It's probably even larger than that. I don't know that anybody trusts the government right now. So this universal declaration to the resistance or for resistance to mandatory vaccines, it starts out by saying, we the undersigned, as freemen and free women, do not recognize the authority of the World Health Organization to mandate general forced vaccinations. Our bodies are sovereign territory and subject to our exclusive self-determination. Any attempted violation of this trust must be construed as a breach of said basic right. We are thus holding our elected governments accountable in this defense with an issuance of notice, a preemptive class action lawsuit to be served in the event our inalienable or unalienable rights to choose are forsaken.
Well, I certainly agree with you. I think that there's really terrible, terrible problems here, and we've got to get the people to understand what's going on and get them concerned. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, Dr. Stan, and Joyce is simply mentioning that she has on her website a declaration to be signed by people who say, we're not going to take this disease, we're not going to take this product. So pick the story up there, Joyce.
Well, and a lot of people are getting behind this because there is no forensic evidence showing the H1N1, or what we're now referring it to as the Heine flu or the Heine virus. There is no no evidence showing the H1N1 virus as the direct cause of the deaths of these people that have died. And then we found out most all of them had some other overwhelming infection or disease process that took their lives. And, of course, GlaxoSmithKline and Baxter and all these people, well, they just want to make a whole lot of money on doing this vaccine, and they stand to gain an awful lot, along with Novartis, Chiron, and all those corporations. So when you go into looking at what, and this 13-page article, if you print it out, you will see that it is going to give you a lot of information on other things about vaccines also, but the list of vaccine fillers, and I think it's important. I feel almost like I want to do this every single day of our radio show, simply to say, if you are taking that poor child into a doctor's office, know what you are doing. You are about to possibly, potentially change their life. And with the things such as aluminum hydroxide are in vaccines, aluminum phosphate, aluminum sulfate, amphotericin B, animal tissues, pig blood, horse blood, rabbit brain, dog kidney, monkey kidney, chick embryo, chicken egg, duck egg, calf serum, fetal bovine serum, formaldehyde. We could go on and on. Human diploid cells, of course, originating from human aborted fetal tissue. Monosodium glutamate, neomycin, all kinds of things that are in these vaccines. And today I was on a legal website, and I found something most interesting. You've heard of shaken baby syndrome.
Right, and of course, probably there are an awful lot of people in prison for shaken baby syndrome who did not even shake their children.
That's right. And what we found is that now, legally, they're now beginning to challenge the shaken baby syndrome diagnosis. Now, before, that was one of the forensic diagnoses that they could say, see, we have a cause and effect here. We can prove etiology or causation or whatever. Put these people in prison, and of course we all said, good riddance, we don't want any people that would abuse babies on the outside. Well, now what they found is that these babies with their shaken baby syndrome diagnoses have what is very, very similar to vaccine injury from the swollen part of their brain, the hemorrhage that has taken place, the whatever has happened, it looks like a brain injury and trauma.
And absolutely, and most of these children have got their vaccines just before they got the shaken baby syndrome. And if you take a baby and you try to shake it, you'd shake their head off. People don't understand. The child has no muscle tone in their neck, and if you were to shake it hard enough to do that, well, you'd snap their neck. So the whole thing is a fraud, and it's really been developed to create a situation where they are not letting the people know that it is the vaccines that are doing the damage, not any trauma to the child. And many of these people are told, look, if you don't confess to shaking this baby, we're going to put you in jail for 20 years. Are you going to confess or not? And if you confess, we'll let you off with a slap on the wrist. If you don't confess, you're in prison for 20 years. And they've actually done that. And a few people...
Oh, yeah, we had a wonderful lady who listened to Power Hour, and her husband's situation was that he was taking care of the baby. He was a stay-at-home dad. She was at work teaching school, teaching Spanish. He was taking care of the baby. The baby had been vaccinated, and all of a sudden, the baby quit breathing. He ran to the emergency room. It was only like a block away. Didn't even call an ambulance or anything because it was faster to run. He ran with the baby to the hospital, got to the emergency room. They took the child away from him, and then they put him in handcuffs. They called the police and put him in handcuffs. And the baby was only about 6 weeks old, and he was never able to see his baby for the rest of that time. They put him in jail for 2 years, and they told him that if he did not admit to it, they were going to arrest her also for being complicit in it in the cover-up. Now think of the lives that have been destroyed because of false diagnoses in which people don't listen to the issue. They only go according to what they want to believe.
And, Chris, I will tell you, well, there are a lot of the doctors who are firmly convinced this exists. Why? Because the people confess to it. Why did they confess to it? Well, there have been people who sent to jail for a lot longer than 2 years, you know, for this supposed crime, a non-existent crime created by the medical profession to cover up the danger of vaccines. Well, Joyce, go right ahead with this story, and I think it's really so important that people understand that vaccines are not safe and effective. Doctors repeat that mantra because they've been indoctrinated it. In fact, it was so interesting. I had a program, I guess, about a week ago. It was the open line program, and somebody called in. He was a pharmacy student, and he said, "Why, what you're saying is so dangerous, you know. Vaccines, we just have to give these vaccines." And I said, "Tell me about the work that you've done, the research you've personally done to show that vaccines are safe and effective." Well, he hadn't done any, but he'd been taught that in school, and he knew it was true. And I don't know whether he took up any of the challenges we offered for him, but I mean, we have so many good people in the medical profession who are really a danger to their patients because they have accepted blindly what they've been taught in school and what they hear from the medical organizations and certainly from the CDC and the World Health Organization, which are responsible for the fact that almost 500,000 people have died here in this country of AIDS and probably, 100 times that many throughout the world, because they refuse to use the standard and effective public health approaches to the disease that would have stopped the disease back in the mid-1980s. And I know that I've had public health officials come to me and say, Stan, we know what you're doing is right. We know what needs to be done. But we can't support you publicly or we'd lose our jobs. But you keep up the good work. And when public health officers come and tell you that, we're in real trouble. Go right ahead.
Well, I just think that that along with what's happening with the FDA right now, the FDA has put out a new threat, if you will, against any company that makes anything that mentions H1N1. Now, it's an effort really to censor anything on the Internet or the talking about the issues of H1N1 or influenza A or whatever you want to call it, swine flu, honey flu, whatever it is. The FDA is now sending out a round of warning letters, and I've talked to some people who've already gotten theirs, threatening to take enforcement action, and this is what it quotes the letter.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Joyce Riley, and Joyce is just saying that the FDA is sending out threatening letters to anybody who talks about having a treatment or an alternative treatment for the H1N1 infection, influenza. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, 50,000 people die every year here in the United States of automobile accidents. Certainly, hundreds of people die throughout the world every single day of malaria. And probably 600 or 700 or 800 die every single day of AIDS throughout the world. In the entire H1N1 epidemic, only 174 people have died all throughout the world since it began, and now they want to vaccinate everybody. What about these letters that are being sent out by the FDA to frighten people so we will all dutifully go down and roll up our sleeves and let the population control people give us an injection?
And not use anything natural. What they're saying is that they are going to threaten to take enforcement action such as seizure or injunction for violations of the FFDC Act without further notice. In other words, they don't even give you time or a warning period or whatever. firms that fail to take the immediate correction action are going to be referred to the FDA's Office of Criminal Investigations. Criminal investigations for possible criminal prosecution for violations of the FFDC Act and other federal laws. Because what they're saying, and their message is very, very clear, no product may be described as protecting against or preventing H1N1 infections unless it has been approved by the FDA. Well, which one has been approved by the FDA? Tamiflu, the antiviral drug that most people will never, ever even get access to or be able to take early enough to make a difference. And there's plenty of side effects attached to the Tamiflu also.
In fact, a lot of kids died over there in Japan from it and got convulsions.
That's right. That's right. But we found out what the basis of Tamiflu is. And I thought it was most interesting. And I'll tell you what, we tripped out of that. And that is the spice star anise. That is where the active ingredient of Tamiflu comes from. Now, of course, they added all the other poisonous chemicals along with it, if you will. That's my own editorial comment. But added all the other stuff with it, and that is what has created the problem then, alongside with the active ingredient of the star anise in the Tamiflu. So I'll tell you what we did. We ordered organic star anise. Now, if people are not familiar, a lot of time you have tasted maybe anise cookies or something, a Chinese spice called five spice powder. Well, one of those spices is star anise, and it looks like a star. It's beautiful. It's absolutely, in its dried form, is beautiful. And so a lot of people are getting that. Now, there's a way to make teas with that star anise. Now, we're not saying it's going to work. We're not saying that people should do it. But, you know, it should be that we have the right to order a spice if we want to. But someday I may be in prison because I have talked about a spice as a remedy. What God gave us, he said in Genesis, I will give you everything that you need, basically, and the herb-bearing seed. He talks about the bitter herbs, the oils, the things that he made for us to use. And yet we're not allowed to use them now, and we're certainly not allowed to talk about them as being effective.
Well, I think one of the things that has really come out repeatedly in the scientific literature recently is the fact that influenza comes at a specific time of the year. In the northern hemisphere, it comes in the wintertime. In the southern hemisphere, it comes in their wintertime. But it doesn't occur in the southern hemisphere, you know, just during their summertime. It doesn't occur in the United States during the summertime. Why? Well, because, of course, we don't get the sunlight. And, of course, the sunlight gives us vitamin D, and vitamin D builds the immune system. And so, certainly, there's a great deal of scientific evidence suggesting that vitamin D3 in large amounts increases the body's resistance to infections of whatever type it may be, and even to cancer, for that matter. Vitamin D3, they've been intentionally telling us to take doses that are far too low. You should be taking 5,000 units. And certainly when I start to come down with a cold now, I'm not using this for H1N1. I'm using it for a cold. But when I start to come down with a cold, I take 5,000 units of vitamin D every 4 hours, along with allobiotic, which is nothing more than oil of oregano and garlic and oil of elderberry and a couple of other things. And for one reason or another, you just feel that the aches and pains and the sniffles go away. But Joyce, before I go on, I want you to get out your website and let people know how to get in touch with your ministry and how they can listen to your radio programs.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Stan. We air from 7 to 10 a.m. Central Time on 7.490 on shortwave or on the stations. You can go to thepowerhour.com. And another website that I recommend is the GulfWarVets.com website. You know, I'm really proud of this and proud of our webmaster and webmistress because they've kept this going since 1996 when most of the other websites have all been shut down by the Department of Defense's meddling into the affairs of the people. And I'm just so proud of them because, you know, we have kept a clean website, an excellent website. We've been attacked by the DOD a couple of times, but we've refuted it, and things have gone very well. And we've been able to give the information to the troops. So go to GulfWarVets.com or ThePowerHour.com. And if you would like to get a copy of Beyond Treason at no charge, If you're a vet, then you can get it from the Power Hour by just faxing us at 573-378-5998. And you can get us...
Give that one more time.
573-378-5998. And just fax us, tell us you're a vet, and I'll send you a copy of it. Now, if you have access to more vets, either at a base or at a organization, military organization, I will send you 10 or 20 of them, and I would like for you to get these DVDs into their hands, because it has made such a difference, because people can then put the pieces of the puzzle together.
Now, for our listeners, Beyond Treason is the DVD that goes into the background of the depleted uranium that they're using over there that's causing tremendous illness among the Iraqi people, but also illness among our own troops. And of course, this is a criminal act. This is illegal by international law, but the American people aren't allowed to know that. They're contaminating Iraq, and we've already contaminated Afghanistan. We're contaminating Pakistan. Depleted uranium is a byproduct of many of the heavy bullets we use, and certainly of all the shells and explosives we use. It's a very, very effective. As far as taking out a tank, it's made of depleted uranium. Of course, it has all sorts of uranium in it. It's simply they've taken out the uranium-253, something like that. But the rest of it is radioactive, and of course, people are getting contaminated and will be sick the rest of their lives. The government's lying about it, like they lied about the Agent Orange in Vietnam, and of course, thousands of our boys died of cancer or will be crippled the rest of their lives. The same thing as depleted uranium, and if they would lie about that, can we believe that they would tell us the truth about the vaccines? And if you're in the military and you tell the truth, that's the end of your career, as Major General Taguba found when he told the truth about what really happened at Abu Ghraib and how they would wrap electric wires around the genitals of the men and fry their genitals, their testicles. You, of course, never heard that. You've never read General Taguba's report. We have it. But General Taguba told the truth, and that ended his military career. Go right ahead.
Well, you know, along with that same subject you're talking about with Beyond Treason, which is about depleted uranium, it's about the vaccines, about the chemicals, et cetera, that were used during the Gulf War. Dr. Doug Rocky has just had an article printed, and I am so proud of him. I mean, I saluted him on the Power Hour the other day because the Palestine Telegraph, and you can see this at going to the Power Hour news section, but the Palestine Telegraph published a large article on the information regarding Dr. Doug Rocky that you've all heard about. He was a depleted uranium expert from the Pentagon who was a whistleblower, and I'm just so pleased to see that this huge article has now gotten into the hands. And they now say that there is evidence that the DU rods and the SABO rounds survived that fire at Camp Doha in Kuwait. And at the ending of his article, Dr. Rocky addresses some of the people at the Pentagon that have been lying and causing the deaths of our military by saying to those people, you had better start swimming. And then he also says to Roger Helbig, who former Colonel Roger Helbig, who has been his nemesis in trying to discredit Dr. Rocky, he says, to these propaganda machines, I say your day will come. And it was written by Peter Iyer, who is a Middle East consultant and special writer for the Palestine Telegraph. But I'm glad to see, though, that he's getting some exposure, other than on the radio shows, at Genesis, because this man deserves to get his message out far and wide to tell the world what's going on with our military. Now, at the same time, you know, I'm still looking at the medical records and reviewing some of the cases of the Gulf War veterans, and I have to tell you that what I am seeing is a real striking concern, and that is that we're finding missing time, as I've talked to you about these troops, missing time in which for 3 to 6 hours they don't have any memory of what they've done, and they have ended up killing somebody that they love very much, usually. Now, that's usually what takes place. What we're finding is that they have two drugs in common, most all of these people. I don't know if this is going to be causation or related to it or not, but we're finding that they are all on an SSRI drug and a statin drug. And for some reason, those two drugs in combination we've been seeing some very bizarre behavioral type things.
Now, for our listeners out there, SSRI is selective serotonin reabsorbent inhibitor. We're talking about Prozac, Luvox, things of that sort. Go right ahead, Joyce.
And then the statin drugs are, of course, well, anything ending in statin is a statin drug. And what we're finding, though, is that this drug, Dr. Duane Gravelin, I don't know if you've had him on your program or not, but Dr. Duane Gravelin is a former NASA astronaut and physician. He was an Air Force flight surgeon, and he served in the 60s in the astronaut program and then became a surgeon for them, flight surgeon for them. But he was on the statin drugs, and he lost his memory for 6 hours. And though he was 70 years old, he thought he was 16 years old, and he could remember every student in his class. He could remember everything that was going on around him, but he didn't know that he had three children, and that he had a wife, and that he was a physician. He didn't know any of that. So he went back to the people at NASA and told them what had happened to him, and they said, oh, that couldn't have anything to do with the drug that you're taking. And as a result of that, they put him back on it again. He had the same thing happen again. And he started researching it, and now he's written a book, on the damage of the statin drugs.
And we actually carry the book by Dr. Gravelin, and we think
he's
excellent.
Awesome.
Right?
He's really just awesome.
And I appreciate so much your recommending him. It was great. Well, Joyce, let's get back, of course, to the threat of the vaccines. It's obvious that there's a massive propaganda campaign to scare us to death about the threat of H1N1 flu, and it's coming back, and it's going to kill everybody on the world, and that's why we've got to go ahead and give everybody a vaccine. But we don't know what's in that vaccine. We know that they put terrible things in the vaccines before that have done terrible damage to people in the third world so that the women could get pregnant. That was the pregnancy vaccines, and we know what they did. But they've concealed this from the American people. They couldn't let the American people know that they put a pregnancy vaccine and injected into women, millions of women throughout the world, so they'd abort their fetuses. They couldn't let the American people know that there was a cancer vaccine, the original cancer virus, and the original polio vaccine. Anybody can check this out up on the Internet. Fortunately, if you're out in the listening audience, you can determine if what we're saying is true. You can get the material up there about, the Baxter vaccine. They were going to give just a few weeks ago, less than 2 months ago, that had the dreaded H5N1 virus in it that killed millions of birds throughout the world, and by injecting it to people, they could get it, of course, to accommodate so it could be sent from person to person. In other words, it would suddenly, with millions of people, some of them would develop it so it could grow within people. Ordinarily, we can't be infected by animal retroviruses. But when they inject it into people selectively, they can eventually accommodate to human beings, and then this deadly virus could become certainly communicable among human beings. And Baxter's response after preparing millions of doses of this virus was, oh, shucks, we have no idea how that got into the flu vaccine. Do you believe that, Joyce?
Oh, it is so, you know, I cannot believe what we have been told to believe. I cannot accept the fact that we have such a corrupt organization, military-industrial medical complex, that attempts to do what it does to us. You know, the latest story now that just came out on June 18th is the story about flu and canine. The canine flu now. H1N1 strain may not affect your animals, but there's a new one. There's a mutant virus already, the H3N8, the equine influenza virus that is contagious, and it causes kennel cough, and is going to maybe hit your pet. So now we're trying to be scared into probably some kind of vaccine for your pet, for your cats and for your dogs. And I just think that we are being run by the medical community. And at the same time, you know, all I want to say, Dr. Stan, is with respect to the new government health program, is if we have government health programs, remember, if you have Medicaid, you have to get your children vaccinated, or you don't get the coverage. Well, what do you think is going to happen when we have government medicine, if it's allowed to pass, and, you know, the president says he's going to do it, that means we are going to have mandatory vaccines, all the vaccines. If you don't do it, you don't get to be a part of the program, or if you don't do it, you're a terrorist, or you're whatever. And this government-sponsored medicine really scares me, Dr. Stan.
And it really should, because what people find so difficult to believe, Joyce, is there really are evil people out there who want to kill off the majority of the people in the world. And one only has to go to my website, look up the Georgia Guidestones, or go to the Internet and look up the Georgia Guidestones and see what they're talking about. Understand that within the last month, there were a number of billionaires, people like Bill Gates and certainly Warren Buffett and David Rockefeller, and I think that Oprah was there and a few others, you know. These are people who believe in mass world population control. At one time, Ted Turner wanted to kill off all but about 200 million people. He wanted to kill off the rest of the world's population. He modified that and said we would just keep maybe a billion people in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, there are people who have a different world view. And if you doubt that, you really need, of course, to get our material on planned population reduction. It's a DVD available. We have a talk on population control. We have one on non-dare call it genocide. There are treatments for cancer, but they're not allowed in America. If you want to get the 4-tape set on the Brzezinski breakthrough, you can get that from us. And Brzezinski's treatment works. That's why they won't allow it. We're dealing with organized evil, and until you understand that, none of it makes sense. Our guest has been Joyce Riley. We'll be right back. Well, Joyce, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up today's program.
Well, I just think that we have to make sure that when we do anything, regardless of what it is, that we need to be taking care of our bodies, that we need to be taking care of our families. And I'm talking about eating correctly. There is no way that we can be putting processed foods in our bodies and expecting us to have healthy bodies. This is not going to happen. There's no way you can consume aspartame and MSG and all the other preservatives and expect God to heal us. He didn't say, you know, eat anything you want and I'll take care of you. He said, I have given you the herb-bearing seed. I've given you what you need. So we have to get back to basics. Whether it's eating, just making one change a day, eating an orange, a fresh organic orange every day, or a lemon in your water, do something every day for yourself and teach your children from the very beginning. And that's what we try to talk about at the Power Hour, is empowering people with the truth. And God gives us that. He shows us. I'm certainly not capable of doing any of this on my own, but He has been so gracious to share this information with me. You know, coming from the belly of the beast in transplant medicine and coming from being a chemotherapy nurse to where I am today and understanding that there are things that He said do for yourself and then that will make you whole. Don't go to prayer meeting on Wednesday night and expect me to do it from the prayer meeting. I mean, I'm not saying He doesn't heal. I'm saying that we have to do our part. So I just think that we need to get ourselves prepared and ready to withstand whatever is going to be coming by having the highest immune system possible, searching out those things that we need. And all I can say is, you know, for those of you that use Miracle 2 and started way back when with Dr. Stan buying Miracle 2 from him, that is one of the best things that I have seen thus far that have helped so many people in so many different ways. And there's other things out there that do work, but search it out and don't do anything your doctor says to do without checking it out, because we have to begin thinking for ourselves and empowering ourselves with the information. And we do appreciate people listening to the Power Hour on 7.490. Go to thepowerhour.com. And most of all, think for yourself and don't be like the crowd.
Amen to that. Well, Joyce, I want to thank you so very much for being with us. And for our listeners out there, if you'd like to hear Joyce, of course, you can go to our website at RadioWD.com and simply scroll down to the listen online, and you'll hear Joyce Riley there 9 hours a day on our mutual satellite. Joyce and I share that satellite with a couple of our other friends, but you can hear her programs, you know, live and recorded. Joyce, God bless you. Thank you so very much for being with us. I hope you'll be with us again next month at the same time.
You bet, Dr. Stan. Thank you. God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly, I think Joyce is absolutely right. You need to understand the background of vaccines. We carry a little book called Vaccines, Are They Safe and Effective? And it's written by Neil Miller. Now, you want the 500-page book, we've got that too. It's called the Vaccine Safety Manual, but the book of Vaccines, Are They Safe and Effective? We have another little book that Neil wrote entitled Autism, and it's all the government hearings that were totally suppressed by the controlled media. We have a four-tape set called Vaccine Update. It's four CDs, actually. Vaccine Update 2009. We have the DVD by Dr. Blaylock, Vaccines and Brain Development, and you need to have all of these items. We also carry Dr. Sherry Tenpenny's books and a couple of her DVDs. They're available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. We carry health products. Now, I can't tell you this is going to help you with H1N1. I will tell you that when I start to come down with the flu or influenza, I want to boost up my immune system. You avoid sugar, and I take 5,000 units of vitamin D every 4 hours along with Alibiotic. We carry both of these products, Alibiotics, nothing more than oil of oregano and allicin, the active ingredient in garlic, and oil of elderberry and a couple of other things. And I take a couple of those tablets and the oil of oregano, and I haven't been off for a flu. I've done every program for all the years. The only time I've taken off at all was when I had my hip surgery or when I had my heart surgery. But certainly as far as the rest of it is concerned, why we're able to keep on going. So if you'd like to know more about these products, the vitamin D3, that's the 5,000 unit, and they've been intentionally lying to the people about how dangerous vitamin D was, and I remember that's what I got in school. But there's so much information out that we're not getting sufficient vitamin D, and that is the reason that the influenza comes in the wintertime, because we don't get the sunshine. So our number is 1-800-544-8927. We carry all sorts of health products, and most of these, actually, I take myself. We have a wonderful book called Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life by our good friend Dr. Russell Blaylock, who incidentally will be our guest, I think, Tuesday of next week. You'll want to hear his program there on cancer. If you'd like to know about cancer, we have a four-tape set of the Brzezinski cover-up. The Brzezinski cover-up. Here's a man who had an effective cancer treatment, and they went after him. Why? Because they want people to die of cancer, and you say that couldn't be. You need to get our tape set, The New Order of the Barbarians. It's available with a transcript, if you want the transcript of it. It's four interviews with Dr. Dunnigan, who is a pediatrician. I think he's passed away by now, but these are interviews in the early 1990s, who back in 1969 had heard the medical director of Planned Parenthood, Dr. Richard Day, and we've looked him up, the story is true. Dr. Richard Day laid out the whole plan of what he called the oligarchy, the ruling elite. He was part and parcel of it. He worked for Planned Parenthood. How they were going to, Chris, to have the Japanese make better cars than the American cars because they wanted to ship production of cars out of this country. How they were going to start, so they paying the athletes tremendous sums of money so people would much rather be an athlete than, say, to be a skilled surgeon, something of that sort. Why be a surgeon when, of course, you could make $50 million a year as an athlete playing baseball? And then, of course, talked about how they were going to cover up the treatments for cancer and how they were going to, of course, legalize abortion in America and encourage euthanasia and, of course, all the things that have come to pass since then. A most amazing tape set. The New Order of the Barbarians explains so much of what's going on today. It's available only from Radio Liberty. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You better start thinking about what you're going to do when they come to your door and tell you you're going to have to be vaccinated. Are you going to say, all right, I'll do it. Probably I'll be all right. Because it could, of course, destroy you and your family. Pray for America. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision. Protection.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU Band, frequency 11836.